Good morning. Thought I'd sing my homily this morning. Just some notes. I rarely use notes, but today is our annual meeting, so I want to do a little different context of what I usually do in preaching on Sunday and offer some thoughts, some context, just to put out there in what we're doing together. This past Friday was the 38th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood, and you tend to get rather reminiscent and nostalgic. And, you know, I look back at those 38 years ago, the church that I certainly was ordained into is much different today. The church that I began in ministry here with you in 1999 is much different than it is today. There is this constant change that happens in the context in which we are church. And our responsibility is to be a presence and a voice in that. And there's a lot being written today about how to do that. But years ago, there was a book that we had to read when I was in formation in seminary, and it's an old book. But it gave some thoughts that have kind of guided me throughout the years. This is not meant to be anything comprehensive. This has all the answers. It's not meant to be that at all. But to give us a context of where we find ourselves. There's a lot being out there written about church life today, but this was a book written years ago by a theologian called Avery Dulles. He's a Jesuit, was a Jesuit priest, and the title of the book was Models of the Church. Models of the Church. It was very kind of groundbreaking because people were saying, models for the church? Isn't there just one way of being church? You know, this idea that there's different parts and different ways that we are church. And the book was written as kind of a study. This is cross-denominational lines. It was an observation of things that seem to be present in churches. And it's given me a guide over the years when I'm trying to look at, you know, the congregations that I've been a part of to get a barometer, sort of a barometer of different parts of who we are. So let me go through this with you, if I could, and share some thoughts. This may sound a little more teachy than the way I preach, but the first model that he suggests, there's six models. The first model that he suggests is church as institution. Church as institution. In other words, there is a kind of a structure. There's an organization. There's a way that we go about being church. There's authority. There's leaders. There's a way that we do things in any church. And it's part of what we experience as church. Church is institution. There's structure, there's order, there's what you might want to call an outer authority. We kind of give ourselves over to this outer authority to shape our lives. And, you know, in a parish, we see that in many ways, but a few of them are clergy, vestry. That's part of our structure. Our committee structure, over 60 ministries, each has a leader, each has training. We follow certain guidelines. We have canons in the church and the diocese that we follow. There's a budget to help support what we're about. That's church's institution is an important part of who we are. It's an important part of structuring things as we go forth into other areas of church life. So church's institution is one model that's probably prevalent in most congregations. How it looks can be different. How it looks can be different, but it's always somehow a part of it. The second model that he presents is church as community. Church as community. That is, realizing that when we are part of church, we find kind of personal and interpersonal relationships. We find fellowship. We find folks that we get to know and connect with. We form a kind of community. It's where we use the phrase, the body of Christ, the people of God. We hear those phrases sometimes. This probably grew out of the early church. The first decades of the Christian community was very small house churches, gathering together in people's homes. And so this idea of community was a very important part. And we see that here in our congregation. We see this sense of togetherness, this sense of interpersonal relationships, this sense of fellowship in some of the small groups that are part of this parish. Some of you are part of smaller groups, foyer groups, small groups. Some of you in the ministries that you're involved in find fellowship in those ministries. You get to know the people that are involved in that ministry. I'm looking yesterday, the Arts and Crafts Festival that was here, those folks got to know each other pretty well working together. Altar Guild works on Saturdays to prepare the table and the space for worship. They have a community. The teachers who teach, there's a way of connecting. So the sense of community and fellowship and coming to know each other is certainly part of church life. Now, there can be weaknesses to some of these models. You know, the weakness to church's institution is it can become very juridical, very driven. The system becomes more important than what it's about. In community, sometimes we can forget the call that we're called beyond ourselves as well. You know, as well, called beyond ourselves. Third model that Avery Dulles suggests is the model of church as sacrament. Church as sacrament. You know, when we use the word sacrament, we think of the seven sacraments. We're here right now celebrating the Eucharist, very significant sacrament in our lives. At 11:15, we'll be celebrating baptism, those sacraments. But what's the way we understand sacraments? They are a visible form of an invisible grace. Did you hear that phrase? A visible form of an invisible grace. An outward sign that shows us something that perhaps is hard to grasp. But the suggestion that Avery Dulles gives is that the church itself is a sacrament. It's a visible form of an invisible grace in the world, in our lives, in the world beyond us. That we're called to be, if you want to use the phrase, we're called to be a sacrament to our world. We're called to be a sacrament to each other, to bring about that presence of Christ around us. And we do that in many ways. We do that in ministries beyond ourselves. We do it here within the community through our Care and Share ministry, being a visible form of caring for people. People who are healing, people who are struggling, people who have difficult times going on. We're there as a Care and Share ministry to care for each other, to be a sacrament, to be a presence of Christ to one another and each other, as well as going beyond the community to do that as well. There's a great phrase that's used that the sacramental life of the church is that we are not yet what we are called to be, while at the same time not discouraged from seeking what we are not yet. We're not yet what we are called to be, but we're called to live into it, to become what we're called to be. It's that continual journey. So in church as institution, church as community, church as sacrament. The fourth one that he suggests is the church as herald. The church as herald. The church being called to not just kind of care for those with whom we know, but to go forth into the world to proclaim this message. Sometimes the word evangelism is used, to evangelize, to let people know of who we are, and stating that to people, sharing that with people in our lives. I mean, how often do we talk to folks about this faith community, people that we're at work with, people we may know? One of the great things that happens here at St. Paul's is, like yesterday's Crafts Festival, there are many people here at this festival who are not part of St. Paul's, but they come to sense of who we are. The Lobster Fest. People come in a fun kind of way, but they come to know a little bit about St. Paul's. Those things that we do to herald ourselves, let people know what we're about. Remembering that we need to proclaim that. We do that through adult formation here at St. Paul's. We kind of remind ourselves who we are. One of the things we're hoping to do next year, in the new year, in 2018, is perhaps have some guests in to do some adult formation and perhaps open that to the community, not just to ourselves on Sunday mornings, but to the wider community to kind of proclaim a sense of who we are. We're hoping to do that, to bring in speakers to help us with that as well. We do that through our website. We do it through Facebook. We find ways to herald who we are, to say who we are. You know, I often said, the reason I like preaching is because I need to hear myself say what I believe I should be about. Do you know what I'm saying? I need to speak it so I hear it, and I'm challenged to live into it. So a lot of times when I'm preaching, I'm probably giving away more of myself than you realize. But that need to speak it so that it can be heard. In whatever way we can find of speaking, to be a church as herald. The fifth one is church as servant. Church as servant. That we are called to be servants, certainly to each other, but certainly beyond in the larger world, to be a servant to this world. You know, some of the great history of Christianity, some of the great history includes hospitals, schools, caring for people, institutions that were formed to care for people. But we're called to be servants one to another, to wash each other's feet, to live into the diaconal calling of servanthood to the wider world, to show forth this love of Christ in the world. In order to, as you know, the phrase I always use, this is my phrase, not every Dulles' phrase, in order to go forth to change the world, to be servants, to witness what Christ is about by going forth and touching people's lives. And servanthood is not necessarily about evangelization. We don't serve people in order to make them Episcopalians. We serve people in order to be Christ and to live that in our lives. And I see that happening here at St. Paul's, particularly through our Appalachian Service Project, ASP, where we have 40, 50 folks head off, mostly our youth, to be with people, to build a staircase, to fix a deck, to fix a roof, to fix a window, to fix a bathroom. Practical things that are done to be of service to these folks and to show forth Christ's love. And to build relationships. One of the things I hear from our youth coming back is how they like to keep in touch with some of the people whose lives they've encountered. Our Refuge for Refugee ministry is a servant ministry to try to be present to folks who are immigrants coming into this country and trying to help them settle in the community, to being of service. And in that servanthood, we change. Not only is the life of the person who's being served changed, but our lives are changed through that relationship. Through that connection with each other. As I mentioned, our Refuge for Refugee ministry is realizing new callings, new opportunities, new possibilities, new challenges in the relationship that we have with these folks. And that's ministry. That's servant ministry. It changes us. It may get us off track every so often. And that's okay as we reach out to a world that is in need of this service. There's also some work that Javier and I are doing, and some folks in the parish are beginning to join us to collaborate with churches in the Wake County area to go forth and see if there's ways that we can work together, collaboratively, to affect change in our communities, in areas that we identify as needs of change and support, but working together. So that's something that Javier and I have been working on for a year now with about 40 or so congregations in Wake County and beginning to find ways to work together as we go forward together. Going forward together to work. And the final model is school of discipleship. The church as a school of discipleship. I love that phrase. Being a school, a place to continue to learn, continue to be formed and transformed. This journey is a continual journey of formation, transformation. It's a lifelong process. And I find that here at St. Paul's, we do this in our children's ministry. Our children are off in these rooms, these chapels, learning about Christ, in church school, learning about the gospel message. In our preschool, we have our preschool here at St. Paul's, also a place of learning for children, a chapel service once a week led by one of the clergy with the children, just ways that we form our children. And then, of course, our youth programs, which begin to enable our youth as they're moving forward through this process, this journey, to continue for their lives to be formed and transformed as they face new things in their lives, a new context in their lives, being present to them. Our adult formation, as well, is a way to continue to be formed and transformed. Our adult formation program has really taken off this past year and a half. If you haven't been able to come to the classes on Sundays, there's about 40, 50, sometimes 60, 65 people gathering in the chapel for adult formation classes, which are meant to be kind of, again, transforming us. I don't know if this identifies with your experience of life, but so often it's not unusual that we're formed, we go through high school, we go through college, and we're disconnected from church. You've heard me do this model before. What I find interesting is when folks get married and have children, oftentimes they return to the church community. Because I believe, because this is where the stories are, and parents want their kids to learn the stories that they learned, that gave their lives meaning. But so often when I talk to some of the adults, they have moved on in their life. They've gone off with careers, they've gone off to get degrees, and sometimes higher degrees of learning, and have a view of the world, but their Christian formation is still high school. Their understanding of God is still high school. And folks, so adult formation is really about adult formation and transformation, continuing in this journey that we walk together. And as I mentioned before, we're looking to do some really great stuff in adult formation as we as a parish move forward together. That's a phrase that really strikes me today, moving forward together as a parish. We have so many of these possibilities going on in our faith community. And we want to be a parish that continues to grow, not just to grow in numbers, but to grow in depth, to grow in meaning, to grow in a way that we're present to the community around us. Certainly we want folks to join us in these ministries. But there are many ways of being part of this community. It's not just these doors on Sunday and sitting here in this pew, but there's other ways that people connect with us, and to find those ways, to deepen those ways as we go forward together as a parish community. So I want to thank you for being part of this community. I want to thank you for what you do, what you're about, what you share, your resources, who you are in relationship and in ministry together. We invite you again, as we gather later today for our annual meeting, to gather with us as we elect new vestry members. And also remind us that we are in the midst of this stewardship time. As we move forward together, I invite you to see how you can be part of that moving forward together by offering your support, your financial support, for all that we're about here. Because as we move forward, as we grow in these various areas of ministry, as we expand in these various areas of ministry, our budget needs to support that. And so we ask you to step forward this year. If you have not already pledged, please try to do that by next Sunday. We have a brunch next Sunday and to celebrate our stewardship journey. So please consider that by next Sunday. That doesn't mean next Sunday is the cutoff. You can't pledge after next Sunday. But we're asking you to please do that. I know sometimes people have to make decisions in a context that may not meet next Sunday. I understand that for some folks. But we're trying to kind of get ourselves together so that our budget can not just support an institution and the needs that an institution has, not just support these facilities, which are in need of support, but to support this church as a community, to support this church as a sacrament, support this church as a herald in our culture and our world today. Support this church as a servant to the world beyond us. To support this church as we all walk in this school of discipleship together. We have a lot to celebrate here at St. Paul's. But we have a lot ahead of us. Great possibilities ahead of us as we move forward together. And I ask for your continued support. And thank all of you for all that you do and all that you're about here at St. Paul's. Thank you.